Hey guys, welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em, and this week I'm chatting with Priyanka Naik.
This does sound cheesy, but it's the passion piece, right? I think if you really, really like something, whether it's your, you know, day job, your desk job, or a hobby, you're gonna make the time for it. And the time that you put in is gonna be very, very thoughtful. So you're not just half-assing something.
So Chef Pri is a self-taught Indian vegan cook making globally inspired dishes. She's a Food Network champion and is publishing her very first cookbook in November called The Modern Tiffin. She's been featured on The Today Show, Forbes, CNN, GQ, and so much more. On this episode, Priyanka is sharing all of the details on how her foodie passion came about, what it's like being vegan, and some of her favorite dishes. She's also sharing details on having a dual career. That's right, Priyanka has two jobs and is still currently working full-time at Twitter. I honestly don't know how this woman does it. Prepare to get super, super inspired by Priyanka. So let's get into our chat. Priyanka, hi. Welcome to the Big Move Podcast.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so nice to chat with you. I know before I pressed record, we were sort of reminiscing on how we know each other. And I feel like I haven't seen you in ages. So it's actually really nice to just catch up with you and hear your voice right now.
I know. To be honest, I don't even remember what it might have been like 2017. I don't even actually know. So it's really nice to hear your voice. And it's so nice to see you doing so well. So yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. And likewise. So where are you chatting with us from today?
I am chatting from my apartment in Manhattan, New York, where I have, quarantined, it feels like for 50 years now, but since you know, the start of the pandemic. But from Manhattan, but I'm from here. I'm from New York. So like there was not many places I can go. So that's where I'm recording from.
Totally. What's New York feeling like these days?
It's actually much better. It's really nice now. Like I am feeling really good that there are a lot of people who left, not like, oh, get out, but it's actually like a much nicer pace. There's less people. Like I'm a native New Yorker. So for me, I'm like, all right, if you can't stick it out, like get out. So I think it's really nice. Things are opening up. Obviously the weather is much better. People have adapted to this life, but also like there's so many people getting vaccine now. So it's just people feel a little bit more free and comfortable at least seeing each other for dinner. So it's been really nice actually versus this time last year, right? When it was kind of like very apocalyptic.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's a good point too, because I've been thinking about that. It probably almost feels like a happy medium now that, right, you were saying a lot of people have left. But of course it's always going to be busy. It's New York. So do you mind giving our audience a brief background on just who you are?
Sure. So I am a self-taught vegan chef, a Food Network champion. I also won this show called Dishmantled on Quibi. And I am writing my first cookbook called The Modern Tiffin, which is coming out in November via Simon & Schuster. It's completely vegan. But I think what a lot of people don't know about me, those who have met me kind of on the chefing and food side, is that I manage two careers. So I do work in tech. I work at Twitter. I've been there for quite some time now, about 3 years. And I've consistently maintained these two careers. And it is definitely exhausting. I am not going to say that this is, you know, a walk in the park, but They're both very different aspects of my life, but you'd be surprised to know that there's a lot of overlap and there's a lot that I learn from each other and kind of weave into each other. So that is me.
I love it. And we have so many questions for you too on this sort of dual career note, which is fascinating. But I guess before we jump into things, you know, the podcast is called The Big Move. So we love to hone in on our guests, you know, those big life transitions, those things that really kind of shape us and make us who you are. I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about how you sort of brought your chef career, your foodie passion to life and sort of becoming Chef Priyanka.
Yeah, so that's a great question. I've always been really interested in cooking and eating. But
who isn't?
I know, right? Like, if you ever meet someone who says they don't like to eat, I'm like, okay, just you're an alien. We don't talk to you.
I get rubbed the wrong way. I'm with
yeah,
you.
Yeah. So I grew up first generation Indian American on Staten Island. And if anyone knows anything about Staten Island, it is definitely very different from all the other boroughs in New York City. It is very homogenous. It's very conservative. There's no one there that looks like myself or my family. And that being said, growing up wasn't the easiest because there was, you know, quite a bit of discrimination and racism against us because we just looked different and, you know, many times sounded different and ate different things. But that actually is what brought me much, much closer to my family and culture, because there was a lot of comfort I took in coming home to being with my family and cooking with my family and learning more about my culture through food and my family. And that's kind of what really piqued my interest in cooking, is just observing my mom in the kitchen. And I would travel to India every single year of my life. So I was almost just as much Indian as I was American. And so fast forward into kind of middle school, I became very obsessed with watching cooking shows. I would watch, you know, Food Network as much as I would watch Sailor Moon and like Pokemon. It was just like, I was obsessed. And I'm not sure if you kind of watched any sort of cooking shows back then, but they used to be all very like instructional. So like there would be a cook or a chef just kind of in the kitchen and they would just be teaching you a dish, right? Like very Emeril and Martha Stewart and Bobby Flay, like OG shows. And I love that because I felt that I was able to expand my interest in the culinary arts through just watching these shows. Then I did consider going to culinary school in high school, but I actually ultimately decided not to. And that was because it's really expensive. It's just as much as going to, you know, a regular, you know, established academic institution, which I found to be very interesting. Then there was the aspect of having to cook meat and eat meat if I went to culinary school. And I was like, no, that really goes against my food philosophy. And I don't think I could do that. But the most important reason why I didn't go is after doing more research into culinary school, I found that there was really no time spent on Asia at all. I'm pretty sure Asia was looped into 3 days in culinary school, which I found mind-blowing that they would put all of the Asian countries into only 3 days of teaching, which is just insane to me. So it's like India, China,
sure,
Thailand, like basically, I'm just like, okay, like that's it. It just didn't make sense to me, because the reason why I loved cooking is because it brought me closer to my culture. So I just didn't, it just didn't make any sense to me. So for all those reasons, I opted out of going, and then I went to, instead, I went to Boston University, and I originally was pre-med because I'm Indian and that's what you do. And then I switched out of that and I actually graduated economics. But all the while, I was always interested in cooking and learning more about cooking. And it wasn't until I graduated college is when I started my blog, chefpriyanka.com, because that's when I became full on actually vegetarian. So I used to eat chicken and seafood here and there for ease and kind of feasibility of adapting to the culture and having options for myself. But when I became full vegetarian and I would go out to eat and I would tell the waiter or the host like, hey, you know, like I'm vegetarian. I would love to know what the options are for me. And they'd be like, well, you know, we have the salads or like a side dish. And I was like, well, what the hell? Why would I eat a salad? Like, I don't eat salad as a meal. And why would I eat a side dish? Why would I come to a restaurant and eat a side dish? Like, this makes no sense. So then it just occurred to me that perhaps the Western world is not privy to all of the cool things that we could be doing with vegetables and vegetarian food, because I grew up with like hundreds of dishes that were actually vegan by default. We just never called it vegan. We just called it food. So that's what inspired my blog, and it was in an effort to put out original vegetable-focused, plant-focused recipes to inspire especially our generation, the millennial generation, to get more involved in cooking and in the kitchen and eating more vegetables. And then that's my blog is what kind of blew up into what it is today and who I am today. And so I got on a Food Network show in 2017 and I won. And so since then, I've been a Food Network champion, and that really put my credibility on the map and built up my credibility within the food industry. So I have now competed on another show, which I mentioned, on Quibi, and I won that. And I've done hundreds of brand sponsorships and editorial features. And I host a show on Tastemade called Dish It Healthy. I've been on the Today Show and a bunch of other daytime shows, and you know, I'm publishing the cookbook. So it's been quite a journey, and it's been very interesting because there's been so many kind of uphill battles, being that I'm self-taught and also someone of a different background, and being a woman in the industry too. So there's a lot of different aspects at play.
This week's podcast is supported by Planty. Passionate about sustainability and nutritious food, Planty is a social venture on a mission to make eating a few more plant-based meals easy and exciting. Their restaurant-quality meals are handmade by chefs, taste like heaven, and are delivered straight to your door sustainably. This is ideal for busy women who want to save time in the kitchen without having to compromise on quality, taste, or convenience. And it's both good for you and the planet. Their meals are sustainably packaged and reach your door through carbon-neutral delivery. I'm personally stocking up on the mac no cheese and barbecue banana blossom burrito, and I suggest you guys do the same. Get a 25% discount now on any Planty box of your choice by using the code BIGMOVE25 at checkout. Available to listeners in UK mainland only. So congrats on all your accolades. You've obviously had an incredible journey to where you are now, and you've already done so much while juggling two careers, which I really can't wrap my head around, quite frankly. I experienced my own kind of overwhelm, but in a very different way with a new one-year-old at home. But I love to hone in a little bit on your career background in tech. Can you kind of talk us through what sparked that for you at the beginning of your career?
Yeah. And I had to say that there's no comparison to being a mom and doing this stuff. I am not married and I do not have kids, and I don't imagine being able to do this if I had to do all that. So that's the first thing. The second thing, so the tech career, yeah, that has also evolved as well. I actually started my career in consulting at a boutique management consulting firm. I was there for a few years. I actually had aspirations to go to law school. I took the LSAT, I applied, I got into a bunch of schools, and I actually didn't know if I wanted to go. So I dove into consulting instead, which is consulting specific to law firms, to see if I was interested in that field at all. And then I was like, I don't really like to read and write. I have no idea why I want to go to law school, which is funny now because I'm writing a book. So I guess it comes full circle in some weird way.
Say, absolutely.
Yeah. Clearly, I don't know what I want. No. But I started my career in consulting, decided against the law school. And there were certain aspects about my consulting role that I really liked, mainly the analytical focus and the focus on data and being able to use data to create a story and to investigate. And so I kind of double-clicked on that aspect of my consulting life. And then I actually transitioned into a big data like analytics role on the agency side at Publicis for like a hot second, like I think maybe less than a year or barely a year. And then from there, I actually transitioned to a role at Bloomberg where I led our data science team for a few years. So that was a very cool role. I was able to work with obviously all sorts of data that I have access to via the Bloomberg terminal, in addition to advertising data to create products that ultimately sellers would be able to sell and create thought leadership, white papers, and all that kind of cool stuff. Obviously very different from the cooking piece, but it is a different aspect of my life that I do enjoy because it's a lot of critical thinking and analysis. But while I was at Bloomberg, I actually, and actually at every job I had, I somehow creeped in the food thing. It somehow appeared all the time. And so this is just an interesting tidbit that you may not know, is that while I was at Bloomberg, I'm not sure if you've ever been to like a Bloomberg office, but they have, they have beautiful offices. But one cool thing about the office is they have these common kitchen pantry areas where they have like all these snacks and condiments and drinks. So it's not like full on meals or anything, but it's like snack style foods. And so when I started there, I was like, oh, wow, this is really cool. Like, and there was also bread and stuff too, right? So I was like, I wonder if I could make myself like breakfast and lunch here. That way I like, well, one, I don't have to spend money on lunch. And two, I'm just interested to see what I can make. And so I just started making like little dishes while I was there. And I would take like the bread and I would make like French toast out of it with like some of the ingredients there. I would make like a polenta with the grits, like it got intense. And then I was like, oh, wow, some of these things I'm making are pretty cool. So then I just started an Instagram and I didn't take anyone's permission, which was probably really dumb at Bloomberg, but I was just like, la, 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 like these dishes look cool. I'm going to start an Instagram. And then I just started something called Bloomberg Pantry, started posting pictures, but I didn't put my face or name. I just put the dishes. And it started gaining a lot of following because people who were employees were like, oh, this is cool. What is this person making? So it caught wind of like the Bloomberg securities team and the operations team. And they were like, clearly this person's like an employee. Like, who is this person? So then I like met with the head of operations and marketing, and they were joking around with me and they were like, Priyanka, like you're fired. And I was like, oh no, like I'm literally only 3 weeks into this job. Like, what am I going to tell my parents? And they were like, oh no, we're just kidding. Like, we really like what you're doing. We just need to make it official and clean it up and stuff. And so I actually then used that kind of social page of my creative like food art to then create a whole like food related sect of Bloomberg, which we then used for recruiting and cult, like building culture and just creating like a different personality for Bloomberg. Because if anyone ever heard Bloomberg, they would think of terminals or finance. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting because it was also like, it was just so random. And I was like, oh, wow, maybe I am really into cooking. Like I'm randomly doing these things at a place where like food has no place being, right? And so anyway, from Bloomberg, I went to Condé Nast actually, and I led product development and business strategy. And then I went to Twitter. And so I've been at Twitter for 3 years and I lead our API partnerships. So basically our largest partners who are integrated into our platform, I read the relationship and development with them. So a lot of my role involves a lot of product development and revenue growth and kind of all sorts of fun stuff. So okay, That's where I'm at now.
Amazing. And I wanted to make a note on the Bloomberg pantry. So my husband at the time, he was in finance, and I think he was the one that pointed out this new food account, by the way. A funny tidbit for you.
Oh my God.
I know. And then secondly, so you are new at Bloomberg. So did your coworkers absolutely love you for bringing this foodie situation?
I think like they first thought I was weird because like I would bring all these things from the pantry down to my desk. And obviously it's like open floor plan, right? So it's like, I'm not doing this in secret. Like it's like clearly on my desk, I'm doing this. And they would just be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, nothing. I'm just making like an oatmeal volcano and there's like chocolate coming out of it. And at first, yeah, at first they thought I was really weird, but I think that's like my whole life, right? Like everyone always thinks I'm really weird. And then they're like, oh wait, you're like doing something fun actually. And I'm like, yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It's like also like a creative outlet for me. And, you know, work can become so monotonous. And I feel like if you don't work both sides of your brain, like it could just be really, I don't know, it could just be really exhausting. So I kind of used it as a creative break for myself as well. So they first thought it was weird, but then they were like, all right, she knows what she's doing. She knows what to eat. So we're gonna stick around with her.
Totally. And then they're like reaping the benefits. So to me, this is not weird at all. So, right, we know you're juggling both careers, your chef career along with working at Twitter full time. First of all, how on earth are you juggling it all? And then secondly, can you give us like a little sneak peek into what a typical day or a week looks like for you?
Yeah, so reason number one, how I'm able to juggle everything is I am not married and I do not have kids. So as you know, that takes up like your whole life. But in all seriousness, like there are sacrifices that have been made. No, I haven't rejected a proposal or anything. It's just like I have not put a lot of focus and energy into that aspect of my life because I've been putting so much energy into these two careers and kind of there's certain goals that I want to reach. That's number one. Number two is time management. Over the past few years, I've been increasingly aware of how I spend my time and also really valuing my time. I think something that a lot of us are guilty of doing in our 20s is not actually valuing our own time and not being selfish with our time and allocating our time to either people that don't matter or social events that don't matter. And I stopped doing that for a long time. And I think that has really helped me in refocusing my time and energy to my careers and building towards these goals. And the third thing is, and this does sound cheesy, but it's the passion piece, right? I think if you really, really like something, whether it's your, you know, day job, your desk job, or a hobby, you're gonna make the time for it. And the time that you put in is gonna be very, very thoughtful. So you're not just half-assing something. And I think that is very important when thinking about pursuing anything, right? Even if it's a job right out of college. And in terms of what a day in the typical life looks like, so everyone thinks I like wake up early and stuff, and like I do not at all. I am not an early riser. Like my family makes fun of me because like my nickname is like sloth. Like I'm just like, I really like sleeping. However, I don't sleep that much. And I get actually most of my work done like very late at night. So I go to bed very, very late. But usually when I wake up today, I was lucky enough, Twitter gave us a day off. So this is an unusual day, which is why I was able to record this podcast today. But if this was any other day, I would wake up and usually I do some content management on social media before I start my day, and my day being like the Twitter work. And usually I'm doing the Twitter work until the end of the day with intermittent like breaks here and there for Chef Priyanka work. And that Chef Priyanka work usually is like emails or like some sort of social engagement, or even now like a Clubhouse like room that I need to moderate, right? Which we all know Clubhouse is like blown up over here. So there's a lot of that, but it's the after hours. So it's after in the evening that I focus all of my time on Chef Priyanka. And also, unfortunately or fortunately, but weekends. So my weekends are dedicated to creating episodes for Cook with Chef Pri at 3, which I host on IGTV, any brand sponsorship content, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, basically I don't have a life and this is what I do. This is what I do.
No, I love it. But it sounds like too, like you love food and you love being Chef Priyanka. So, you know, if your spare time, it is filled up with those types of things, it sounds like it's not so bad. But right, I did want to ask, like, is there ever time to turn off? Do you ever have time to relax? Or is that just not really a part of the mix at the moment?
I do. And I do make a conscious effort in recognizing like when I've lost steam. And so like this past weekend, actually, I didn't do much because I was just like, I'm just exhausted. Like I need to just like plop and like watch bad TV or something, you know, like I don't want to do anything. And I think we're all human and we all need to also recognize when we've lost steam, because I also don't want to get to the point where I'm like burned out and then I'm not having fun doing the Chef Pri stuff anymore. You know, that's when you know that it's like, this has gone too far.
Absolutely. I think we all have a limit, and I think it's important to feel when that limit is being pushed. And exactly, just take a moment however you can. Even if it's 5 minutes, I say that all the time as a mom. Like, it's all about, like, if I can have a coffee alone for 7 minutes, I will take it. You know, you kind of take those moments and run with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, exactly. And someone asked me the other day, like, about self-care, and I was like, well, I tend to do, like, my quote-unquote self-care is pretty much every day by nature of what I put into my body. It's like, I'm just very thoughtful about when I wake up, like, what's the first thing that I drink, right? Like, mm-hmm. how do I start my day? And I feel like all of that can be weaved into, like, taking care of yourself and taking time for yourself.
Absolutely. So Priyanka, I'd love to touch on your experience on the Food Network, as I know this was a massive turning point for you. How did this come to life, and what was that experience like for you?
I was on a show called Cooks vs. Cons, which was very similar to Chopped. So it's like a cooking competition show with four chefs, four contestants. In my case, it was a little bit different. There were two professional chefs and two amateur chefs, but all of our identities were hidden. So the judges didn't know who was who. They solely had to judge you based off of your output, like what your dish looked like, presentation, technique, what it ultimately tasted like. So that was a very interesting experience, because I am not obviously professionally trained from a culinary school, and I have not been a line cook at a restaurant. My path has been really, really untraditional, but that's where I consistently rely on what I've learned growing up and really like my background and my travels. Because those are aspects of someone that you can't replace. Like, no school can replace that, or institution. So through that show, I actually beat out two professional chefs and one other amateur chef, and I won. And it was so interesting, because at the last round, I thought the other guy was going to win. And I knew he was, like, based on the way he was cooking, I kind of knew he was a professional chef, because he was making, like, organ meat and, like, something crazy. And I was making, like, a rendition of an Indian street food dish, which is basically, like, a very sloppy sandwich. And I was like, yo, this guy's going to win. He's doing, like, some crazy stuff. But, like, I ultimately won. And I think not because, like, oh, I'm so good, but I think it just goes to show, like, if you don't have to do, like, super fancy stuff. I think if you are good at something, it will be reflected through your product. And also, like, if you're passionate about something, that will come through as well, right? So I think that was what ultimately kind of, like, helped me get over the line. Plus, like, my food's bomb, so, like, you know, that aspect helped. But it was really funny, because I was like, yo, this guy's going to win. He's, like, doing something with duck hearts. Like, I don't even know what's going on. I don't even know what organ that is. But, like, in my gut, I was like, yeah, I'm putting, like, a sandwich in front of the judges. So, but yeah, I won. And I think, like, especially being self-taught, it was something that I needed to get me on kind of the culinary map and get people to notice.
What was filming like? Like, were you nervous on set? Were there, like, cameras all in your face? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, I that's the thing. I've never been nervous on camera, and I've done a couple of things here and there when I was little, and I don't know. I don't really care, I guess. I think for most people, yeah, having a camera on your face is, like, very nerve-wracking. But for me, it's like, I just see it as any other, like, I'm talking to someone. Like, I just pretend the camera is, like, my friend. And I talk to the camera as if I would talk to you, let's say. And so, yes, there's cameras everywhere. There's lights everywhere. It's in a studio. It's like, you know, I had to be there at 5 a.m. and I didn't leave it until, like, 11 p.m. It's extremely exhausting. And at the end of it, at some points, you probably don't even realize what you're saying when they're interviewing you and stuff. And you're just like, okay, like, are we done yet? Like, are we sure. done yet? Sure. But yeah, it's more exhausting, if anything.
Absolutely. That's a long day on set. Mm-hmm. So I know you wrote an article on your blog recently that I read, and it really resonated with me. It was titled 12 Milestones That You Crossed During the Pandemic. I'd love to touch on this article, if you could share, like, a couple of those milestones and maybe why this year ended up being sort of instrumental for your journey.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for reading the article. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
I've gotten to this habit of reflecting on kind of quote unquote what I've accomplished the year end for the past couple of years. And the reason why I've been doing that is not to like brag, but you know, we hardly, especially women, I feel like just don't take enough time to reflect and be like, I've done some really badass things this year, you know? Like they just every day is just like a hustle. And I don't feel like we take enough time to be like, I've done XYZ and I feel really good about myself, or I've worked really hard towards XYZ and I finally accomplished it. And so that's why I started doing that for the past few years. And I did that specifically for the pandemic year because this was one of the toughest years for most of us, right? People losing their jobs, people getting sick, people passing away. And it's just, I think out of all that darkness, there has to be some light, some positivity. And this was my way of like helping share that and inspiring others. And so some of the things that I accomplished during the year, which I really didn't think would happen, was first and foremost signing my book deal, which was insane because I have been working with my literary agent for a couple of years now. And to be honest, I've been rejected like a lot by publishers over the past year and a half prior to signing, just for so many interesting reasons. Like, oh, you know, we've already signed an Indian chef, so, you know, we're kind of done. We have that quota. And I was like, what the hell? Is this like college where it's like college admissions and you fill in a race bucket and you're like, okay, well, you know, they've reached their quota of Indian people. So I'm not getting into Harvard. And that's kind of what it felt, which I was just astonished by. So I experienced a lot of that. Then there was a lot of like, oh, you know, like, we're not sure, like vegan food, it's really niche. Like, I don't know. We don't know if there's an audience for this. But then all of a sudden during the pandemic year, everyone's all over plant-based food, right? And like, I'm not a huge fan of trends, but like, hey, if it's going to help me get my story and work out there, then so be it, right? Because it's like, I do think more people should be plant forward. So I think it's a good trend. So after a lot of rejection, it was really amazing to see that I was able to finally get a book deal. And that too, my book went into auction, which meant that there were multiple publishers that were interested in signing my book on, which is insane because I went from rejections left, right, and center to people vying for it. So coming to that stage and signing with the big five was just, it's testament to being persistent and not taking no for an answer. So that was a really big accomplishment for me. The second was getting on the Today Show. I obviously had been on national TV and I was on Quibi and some other things, but I actually had never been on daytime national TV, live TV. So getting on the Today Show was really, really cool. First of all, I did not realize how many people watched the Today Show until people started messaging me being like, you're on my TV right now. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. But yeah, it was very interesting. It was obviously all remote. So teaching myself how to remote shoot my, you know, self to be on national TV, also a huge learning curve. And so getting on the Today Show was pretty cool because, you know, especially my parents, they're like, you know, we always see all these chefs come on the Today Show and we're always wondering, like, why aren't you on there? Like, why we want to see our daughter on there? Like, she has something to offer. So finally, they were able to be like, my daughter was on the Today Show. So I thought that was really cool because I was not only able to share vegan recipes, but also my culture. Like, each of the recipes I shared have had some connection back to my upbringing and my culture. And some other things, I'm trying to think, wow, I'm blanking. What else was on that list?
I mean, those are major. And I just want to say, I need to gush over the Today Show for a minute because I get so nostalgic. I grew up watching it. My mom would always have it on. So the Today Show is major. I think that is such an accomplishment. So kudos to you. And also thank you for sharing, you know, the fact that your book was rejected and you just had to keep your foot on the pedal. So again, I think that goes back to how motivated you obviously are. So both pretty big accolades, I think, during a pandemic. pandemic year. So,
yeah, I would say just in terms of rejection, like I was rejected 2 or 3 times by the Food Network before getting on the Food Network. So like rejection is real and it happens a lot more than people care to share. And that shouldn't be a reason for someone to not continue pursuing what they actually care about. Just an FYI, I've been rejected a lot.
Absolutely. No, I think it's really important. I think rejection is absolutely a part of the process. And we just have to keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
So Priyanka, getting into a few specific foodie questions for you. What are your most popular recipes, or has there been anything that your followers have particularly loved or gone kind of crazy for?
Oh, gosh, this is a good question. There's been a few random things. So one of my most popular recipes from last year was my rendition of a ceviche, which was a watermelon ceviche. And obviously, ceviche is usually made with fish. That's kind of like cured with lime juice. So watermelon is my fish in this dish. And I paired it with fresh lime juice and fresh coriander, scallions, and jalapenos. And it's just like a really fresh, summery, fun take. And that went viral on both TikTok and Instagram and Twitter. So it's been a popular one. And I think people really gravitated towards it because it's very easy to make and it's just very colorful. So that was one of my most popular ones from last year. Another one that has recently become very popular for like both of these dishes, the watermelon ceviche and this next one, are like controversial in a sense because there was so much like there was a lot of negativity from the Latino community for the watermelon ceviche because they're like, that's not ceviche. Like, you know, it's supposed to have fish. It's like, well, obviously, like, it's an inspired dish. Like, I'm not going to eat fish. I'm vegan. The next one was banana peel, quote unquote, pulled pork sandwich. So I do a lot of sustainable zero waste cooking and I continuously try to push the boundaries as to what I could be doing and also challenging myself and others. And so I used banana peels, which are completely edible. You just have to ensure that you buy organic. So they're pesticide free and you have to like scrub them clean and stuff. So just, I just say that because people are like, you shouldn't be eating peels because of all the chemicals, but like these are the steps you can take in order to eat them. But yeah, I turned banana peels into a quote unquote, like pulled pork dish. And there's also a lot of controversy over that because they're like, why are vegans like always trying to make meat substitutes? And to be honest, I actually don't. I mean, you follow me, I rarely do like faux meat stuff. And the reason why I call this pulled pork is so that it's more relatable to people, mm-hmm. Rather than being like banana peel sandwich. But it mimics the flavors of pulled pork because it's like shredded, it's smoky, it's a little bit saucy. So that's been a very, very popular one. And then another popular one, which is actually more of a drink and less of a dish, is my quote unquote healthy-ish mango lassi. And I say healthy-ish because mangoes are really high in carbs and sugars. They're like definitely a very decadent fruit, which is why animals love them because they're just like chock full of nutrients, but also like tons of sugar. But mango lassi, obviously very popular Indian drink, but I veganified it and I used protein packed almond yogurt and some chia seeds and fresh mango and blended it together to make like a really delicious mango lassi, which people seem to love. So they kind of love the take on it that it's a little bit healthier and it's also kind of a riff on a very classic Indian drink. So that's been a very popular one too.
Okay, those all sound delicious. So I guess on that same note, obviously you are vegan. Are there any misconceptions around being vegan that you would want to share with us?
Yeah, so many. that vegan food is gross, that it's a salad, that it's boring, that it's like, I don't know, like a piece of lettuce. To be honest, I hardly eat lettuce. I really don't like salad. like at all. It's just so much chewing and my jaw gets tired. It's just like I'm chewing and chewing and chewing. So not a salad fan. But yeah, there's so many misconceptions. And I say that also because, as I mentioned earlier, like I grew up eating all these cool dishes and all of them are vegan, really. We just didn't call it vegan. We just ate food. And so many things like steamed rice cakes called idlis, which are vegan, with coconut chutney and sambar, all of that is vegan. We use a lot of chickpea flour, which is just not utilized as much in the States. And I would say even in kind of like Europe, which is chickpea flour has so much protein because it's just made from blended dried chickpeas. You could bake with it, you could fry it, you could saute it. Like there's so many cool things you can do. And I think the misconception is that vegan food is gross, that vegan food is inaccessible, and that vegan food is expensive. And I really try to break all those or dismantle all of those misconceptions through my style of cooking because I want people to feel like they could go into a grocery store and buy what they usually buy, sans meat, and actually make like a delicious vegan meal out of it. Now, the faux meats and stuff, they can be pricey and they certainly are. They can be very indulgent. Like there's definitely like a lot of calories and like high sodium. But the whole point of faux meat is to help people transition to a meat-free diet. So it is for the people who, let's say, regularly eat steak and hamburgers to then replace it with like a Beyond Meat or an Impossible Foods burger. So like I'm not the target audience for that, right? A target audience for that is someone who's trying to transition out of eating, you know, red meat every day. And so that's another misconception that a lot of vegan chefs like myself intend on dismantling, which is that, oh, but like faux meat is so bad for you. It's like, well, you're not supposed to be eating it every day, just like you're not supposed to be eating a hamburger every day, right? It's meant to be a transitionary item. So yeah, there's a ton of misconceptions, and I hope to continue dismantling all of those.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your thoughts on the Impossible Burger? I've never had it, but I am kind of intrigued by it.
Yeah. So to be honest, I've never had it either, but that's because I've never eaten beef. So like I've never eaten a hamburger. I've never eaten steak. Like, so I have no desire to eat something that mimics steak,
right?
Like, yeah, I actually think it's awesome. I think what they're doing is amazing. I think what they're doing is much more sustainable for the environment, from a land usage standpoint, from an animal welfare standpoint, from a carbon emission standpoint, from a water saving standpoint. There are so many aspects of Impossible and other faux meats that are so good. And they're doing it for the sustainability piece. They're not doing it for to satisfy vegans. It's for sustainability. That is their premise. So I am in full support of it. I think it's amazing. I think that the more people give it a chance and actually incorporate it into their lives, the more accepting they will be of it. Because at the end of the day, like we have obviously taken all of this too far, like factory farm. It's there to help alleviate factory farming, which shouldn't be there in the first place. And so I fully support what they're doing. I personally probably won't eat it, but I'm also not eating hamburgers. So like sure. To me, it doesn't matter. But I've had a lot of people try it who would eat, you know, hamburgers, and they said it's pretty good. So I think there's a chance for it.
Totally. So I'd love to shift gears a little bit and touch on your online community. You've grown, you know, an incredible and engaged following on, you know, Instagram and your other platforms. What do people sort of primarily follow for, do you think? Like, what are they coming to you for?
Oh, that's a good question. I think they're coming for entertainment, first and foremost, and then for recipes. I think My primary goal has always been to speak to the non-vegan audience, because if I talk to vegans, then I'm just screaming in an echo chamber. Like they already know that, you know, it's better for themselves, it's better for the environment to go vegan. But my mission is to talk to the people who may be very skeptical about eating more vegetables, about eating vegan food. And so I think I've done an okay job at being able to garner the attention of that audience group. And so I always lead with entertainment because at the end of the day, that's what people are on social media for, right? That's what that's why they watch TV. That's why they go on social media, is they want to be entertained. So I always lead with the entertainment, but then I hook them, or what I think, I hook them with the education, because it's never my mission to like shame someone into being vegan. It's my mission to continuously educate.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. So Priyanka, I have a couple rapid fire questions that I have fielded from our Instagram audience. The first is, as a vegan, what food staples do you always have on hand?
Ooh, great question. I have chickpea flour, vegan coconut yogurt, and bread.
Ooh, bread always. Okay, second question, probably a loaded question. What is your favorite food?
I would say favorite cuisines are Indian and Italian. And then favorite dish is pav bhaji, which is it's a street food dish in Mumbai, which is basically a vegetarian sloppy joe. It's really, really good.
That sounds so good. So Priyanka, as a last and final question for you, do you have any advice for those out there that have a passion but don't know what steps to take to pursue it and sort of bring it to life?
Yeah, you have to just put it out there. No one's going to know how good you are at something or where your talent lies if you just keep it with yourself. So whether that's starting a blog or putting it on social media, you just have to put it out there, be consistent about it. And you also have to be very, very persistent. As you heard, like, I've gotten rejected left, right, and center before getting to where I am today and hopefully continuing to grow. So my advice would be to put it out there, try and be passionate and confident about it, and be persistent.
Amazing. You are a force to be reckoned with. Thank you so much, Priyanka, for sharing all of your amazing tidbits. But before you go, what is next for you? Is there anything that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, so I am publishing my first cookbook called The Modern Tiffin, which is coming out on World Vegan Day this November 2021. And it is actually available for pre-order. So if you live anywhere in the world, with the exception of India, because that goes on pre-order sale just 1 month before. But if you're anywhere in the world, you can pre-order my cookbook and you will be supporting a female small business owner, person of color, vegan, all of those things. But yeah, it's a true culmination of my heritage, which is first generation Indian American, and my lifestyle. I've traveled to nearly 40 countries. So all of that inspiration and delicious foodiness has been weaved into every chapter. So I hope you go check it out. It's called The Modern Tiffin.
Amazing. Congrats on the book launch. We will include a link to pre-order the book. And where can everyone follow you, find you, and keep up with you?
You can follow me at Chef Priyanka on all social media sites and my blog, chefpriyanka.com, and message me. I love hearing from people.
Amazing. Priyanka, thank you so much. It was so fun to chat with you, and we really appreciate you coming on and taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you found value from this episode, please share with a friend. Tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast. We always love to hear your feedback, and we will catch you on the next episode.